Hello, everyone. Thanks for pulling up a chair here around Great Heart's table. Thanks particularly to those of you who support this work. I can't reward you with t-shirts or car magnets or other merchandise, maybe someday. But do know that without you, I couldn't sustain this. If you'd like to become a patron, head over to the Great Heart's Table page at Patreon or Substack. I really appreciate the help. The tone of this episode is a bit darker than ordinary, the length a tad longer, but a line from the Bee Gees song Words keeps bouncing around in my head. This world has lost its glory. Let's start a brand new story. The reputation of pastors has lost its glory, and perhaps the start of a new story is necessary, but begins with a proper anger. I'd love to hear what you think. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my favorite people are broken. Believe me, I hush and know.
Years ago, a young woman who wanted to join our church hesitated doing so because she'd been excommunicated from her previous church. She told me that she'd run afoul of the church's session, that is, the ruling body in a Presbyterian church, for not wearing a bra to a church Bible study. When I followed up with this church's pastor, he told me that the session had attempted to meet with her to discuss what they considered to be her sin, but when she refused to do so, they excommunicated her. The session, in this case, in very un-Presbyterian fashion, consisted of just the pastor. That this young woman refused to meet alone with a man to discuss her choice of undergarments was the correct call on her part. That a pastor charged with the care of Christ's flock would not understand this and would further traumatize her by such a censure angers me still. Much worse stories are all around us, and they should make us angry. We should be angry when shepherds harm the sheep. They not only harm the sheep, but in the process, they malign the office they occupy. When a pastor goes off the rails, the stain of his misconduct affects not only his reputation, but that of us all. So completely has the reputation of pastors in the church been eroded that we're hardly surprised anymore. An elder in a church in which I've worshipped was recently jailed for the admitted ongoing sexual abuse of his disabled daughter. We're to be angry for the evil this elder inflicted on his daughter, but as well, we're to be angry for the contribution such actions make to the ongoing crumbling credibility of Christ Church. In a recent interview, Marcus Mumford of the band Mumford & Sons spoke about his being sexually abused when he was six. Mumford, a pastor's son, was quick to say, "Not by family, and not in the church." The now common association of abuse and the church in the popular mind required him to make that qualification. This should sadden us, yes, but it should also anger us. Jesus had no room for shepherds devouring the sheep. We, it seems, do. If a pastor is successful and the church's leadership fears the loss of income or influence, the pastor is often defended and propped up and not held to account. Rarely are well-entrenched pastors removed. The more frequent narrative is that churches and leaders circle the wagons and excuse abusive behavior. By contrast, the heart of the prophet Ezekiel beats strongly in Jesus' chest. Jesus' anger, like that of the fiery prophet, was aroused by leaders who used the sheep for their own agenda. When Jesus found leaders mistreating his sheep, tables got flipped. That's an easy trope, I know, to reduce the Bible to a question of what would Jesus do. But in this case, I wonder if I'm really angry enough. Now, anger, of course, important as it is not ultimately constructive. The true question here is what we ought to do with our anger. The temptation is strong in an internet world to broadcast our anger on Facebook or Twitter, or closer to home, in a newsletter or podcast, so that others will judge us properly mad. This may make us feel like we've done something, and maybe we have, but it can't be enough. When there's a pastor who has done wrong, and when there are those supporting this pastor, implying that he, or she as the case may be, is too gifted or too impactful to face critical scrutiny, We need to summon all the courage we can to call this out as the mockery of Christ-likeness that it is. We need to break the circle the wagons cycle. We also have the opportunity in our ministries to create a new story of grace and transparency for the world to read. What authority do we, as ambassadors for Christ, bear if we reflect so little of the character of the King for whom we claim to speak? To nurture a more Christ-like church culture is a higher priority than that of growing in size or numbers or status or dollars or political influence or any of the other things that seem to motivate us. Unless we become that which we abhor, our anger at all times is to be a flame that illuminates the dark corners of our own wicked hearts. Because the pressure to be noticed, coupled with the loneliness of the pastoral call, can misshape a pastor's heart, we need to be critical of our own hearts and actions, and not just those of others. When I heard many years ago that a young pastor, a seminary classmate, had left his wife for another woman, it scared me. If he could fall, how safe was I? Without scrutiny, appreciation slips into lust. Leadership morphs into control, and caution becomes paranoia. Our hearts must always be in the crosshairs of critical judgment. And we need to be alert to how easily our very proper anger can mask a very improper, self-righteous disdain. It's too easy to share space with the Pharisee in Jesus' parable, thinking, if not saying, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, adulterers, or even like this abusive pastor. In so doing, we forget the gospel we all need. And for all of this, then, we need honest friends to help us keep our deck clear, our accounts short, and our acquaintance with grace fresh. Our fundamental calling is to care for and protect the sheep before us. Paul pushed back, with anger, I might note, against those who sought to undermine his reputation among the Corinthian church, driving this stake in the ground. He said, I seek not what is yours, but you. He wouldn't use the sheep as a pathway to power or as a platform for public influence. He wouldn't use the church for self-enrichment or even self-validation. What he sought was the sheep, their good, their care, their safety. Anything that hinders this should make us all flippin' mad. Greatheart's Table is published on the first, second, and fourth Mondays of each month in both audio and print format. Thanks to Over the Rhine for permission to use their wonderful songs, All My Favorite People and Called Home, and thanks to you for listening. I am Randy Greenwald, pastor of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Oviedo, Florida.
Just shy of breaking down, there's a bend in the road that I have found called home. Take a left to loneliness, there's a place to find